Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to another new episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me for episode 031, recorded on February 21st, 2011, President's Day here in the U.S. I don't know how many years we've been celebrating President's Day, but when I was in school, that's way back long ago, we had two different vacation days, one for Lincoln's birthday and one for Washington's birthday, on February 12th and 22nd, respectively. I really prefer celebrating the real days, like our Memorial Day. We now celebrate it on the last Monday of May, and it used to be May 30th, regardless of the day of the week. But that's just me. Those of you who know me know I'm traditional that way. Well, I am looking out a window. Snow has fallen. I'd say we got somewhere maybe around 3 or 4 inches. I didn't go out, but that's what it looks like from my second floor window. And I'm doing what I tell everyone who has to sing or speak at length not to do. I'm having some drinking chocolate or hot chocolate. And when you use your voice, you're really not supposed to take in dairy stuff. It doesn't do good things for your vocal cords. So if the quality of my voice degrades over the next while we're together, blame it on drinking chocolate. How was your week? Are you humidifying? If your heat is on, please, 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 please continue to humidify your guitar. I'm still hearing a lot of rattling and feeling a lot of fret wire protruding from the sides of guitar necks on my students' guitars. If you feel scratchiness along the sides of your guitar neck, your neck is shrinking from dryness, so humidify. This is going to be a light teaching week for me. In fact, I have no students today, a day off. Cool. A snow day off. Lots of people are away because of a lot of local schools have a week or nearly a week long break. In the world of guitar this week, a non-guitar playing friend asked me if there was a National Guitar Day. That was a good question. I didn't know the answer. So I looked around a little on the net and it wasn't worth investing a whole lot of time, so if you know of a National Guitar Day and I somehow missed it from the sources I checked, please do get in touch with me. I'd like to know when it is. So I didn't find a U.S. National Guitar Day, but I did find out that for the past couple of years, April has been called by some the International Guitar Month. That was interesting to me. I'll keep an eye on this month of guitar celebration as it approaches and mention any noteworthy observances I learn about. Maybe I will propose a unique way to celebrate for you, my listeners, or give you a International Guitar Month challenge of some kind. If you have special plans for International Guitar Month, please contact me. Perhaps I'll mention it in an upcoming episode, with your permission, of course. A capsule of what's ahead. There are 8 students in the spotlight this week. The question of the week was about new chord progressions. The news is about experience Clapton. And the take note segment kind of picks up where last week's question of the week left off about guitar strings, like when you should change them. Okay, that's it for the intro. Let's move right into this week's spotlight. This week, the student spotlight bathes over 8 students. They are Anna, Arno, Anya, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, and Olivia. You listeners who are not these students will be hearing some of these names pop up every week, and some of them pop in and out of this list. And for you students who are on this list who are listening, the only thing that keeps you from headlining every week is your personal discipline and consistency. And the few of you who pop in and out of this list know who you are. And I can't urge you strongly enough to dig deep and get a grasp on what self-discipline is, because none of you that are on this list are unable to put in a little bit more time or a little bit more focus or a little bit more effective practice. Those of you who need it or are at the appropriate level have already received from me a booklet that I've written about how to practice effectively, and you should be employing those methods. Anyway, you all did a great job. I don't want to linger on this, but some of you who know, you guys know who you are, who need just a little bit more self-control and a little bit more self-discipline. What you like and what you think doesn't matter a whole lot at the level you're playing. You need to succumb, or I should say submit, to my authority a little bit more, in that I'm giving you really, really, really what you need. So you should embrace it and go with it, whether you like it or not. So whether it's that you haven't put enough time in on music you're working on that you love, or whether you're neglecting some really important exercises that you need to do in order to fill in the gaps and strengthen your weak areas, you guys that are intermittent in this list need to get on the program and buckle down a little bit more. Anyway, congratulations. You all did great. It wasn't to be a downer. I just want to encourage those of you who aren't so consistent. Okay, let's move on to the question of the week. This week's question came from a student who was asking me if I knew any more, quote, chord progressions, close quote, that he or she didn't already know. Not ones to play to increase his or her skill, but ones so he or she didn't have to think about what the progression should sound like. They wanted a shortcut to listening. They just wanted ones that, quote unquote, worked. This is wrong on so many levels. Let's take this kind of question out of the realm of guitar for a second. That would be like a writer asking me if I knew any words that sounded good together, so they didn't need to try to craft their own original phrases. Or I maybe that's even a clumsy analogy, but it was a question that I was not delighted with. So, here's what I did. Rather than laying out some progressions that tickle my ear, which for a microsecond I was tempted to do, instead, I took the lesson in the direction of learning about consonants and dissonance and smooth and illogical key changes. The student who asked is very bright, accomplished, and really doing marvelously, but he or she does have a lazy streak and isn't beyond taking the easy way out. Listen, if this student sounds like you, and you thought I was going to give you a few silver bullet progressions, you don't know me very well. I'm more inclined, in general, to answer a question with a question rather than an answer. It's been my experience that there is confusion between what is meant by telling someone something and what teaching someone something means. So I do my best to do the latter and avoid the former like the plague. I have found in all cases and areas of life, people are apt to forget what they are told, me included, but they don't forget what they have been taught, and I mean really taught. And teaching doesn't occur one time at one instant for the most part. So although that student didn't get the answer he or she asked for, they were taught some things that we'll go over again in the near future that will make them a far superior musician than they would have become had I given them the answer they wanted. Now, I'm mentioning all this in the question of the week because I know that there are people out there, among some of whom are my listeners, whose original music is in a rut. And it's in a rut for a lot, it could be in a rut for a lot of reasons. You could just be lacking inspiration, you don't have a new idea, and you're trying to force it, or because you have a new idea and don't know how to get there and don't know how to accomplish it. Learn about key modulation. Not all of great art is spontaneous and instant and just completely inspired. Now, sometimes it is. But judging by some popular stuff I hear lately, the understanding and knowledge about music that's been missing from the education of a lot of songwriters is very obvious. There's chord progressions by one artist in particular, and I'm not going to mention his or her name, but they sound like a sentence with the words all jumbled around. You know what it's saying, but it's just passable musically, and if you can't figure out why the song's accompaniment is so poorly constructed. I mean, people's ears are getting less and less attuned to, I don't even want to call it traditional harmony, but just logic. I think it's happening in every area of society, actually. I think the ability to reason and what is called critical thinking, which is, of course, not just being critical, but being able to hear or read something and analyze whether it A, could possibly be correct or true, and if it is, why it would be, and if it isn't, why it wouldn't be. That whole arena of intellectual process seems to be missing hugely from society in general, never mind musicians who are poorly trained and whose listeners are even less so trained and don't require much at all. So, anyway, sorry about that, but I hear a lot of really poor music, and I'm very pleased for whoever's making a living doing it. That's not an issue. It's just, I don't know, I kind of miss the meatiness of really interesting music in the public arena and in the, you know, contemporary public, publicly and mass-consumed music. Okay. So if my student who asked this question about a silver bullet chord progression sounds like you, step up and learn something. If you don't have a good instructor who can teach you about modulation and the interworking of harmony, change teachers. If you are self-taught, get instruction or get good books. Yes, books. I don't care if they're hard copies or digital. Don't leave your education to what's free and online. It's quite possible you'll be getting incomplete or inaccurate information. There is information out there that's worth paying for. That wraps it up for the question of the week. I didn't really answer it, which is kind of my norm about a lot of things that my students ask. Let's move along to this week's news. This week's news is going to be brief. I'd like to tell you about something called Experience Clapton, and this is mainly for you Eric Clapton fans out there. It is sponsored by Ernie Ball, along with exclusive partners Guitar Center, Guitar World, Sterling, and Guitar Aficionado. This is a, I don't know whether you want to call it a contest, or a sweepstakes, or a drawing, or I don't know exactly how you'd term it. But the gist of this is that there are going to be limited edition picks and unique codes in selected packs of Ernie Ball electric and acoustic guitar strings. You enter the codes of these products if you receive them in your merchandise when you purchase it. You enter these codes online. And there is a way to enter this drawing sweepstakes, whatever you want to call it, contest without making purchases. You'll have to go to the website, which I'll link to in the show notes, to find out how to do that. And if you are the winner, you will receive, I guess the word is, over $100,000 in prizes, including but not limited to flight to and hotel in London, England, exclusive access to Eric Clapton's private rehearsal, a private meet and greet with Eric Clapton, and ticket to see Eric Clapton in concert at the Royal Albert Hall. Now, if you're a fan or admirer of Eric Clapton, this experience Clapton by our friends at Ernie Ball may be something you want to do. I will link to the page in the show notes. So, depends on your take on these things. I don't know. You'd have to really read to see whether someone who enters one code or someone who enters numerous codes has a better chance, and how likely it is someone who doesn't make any purchases and who enters, what your chances are. But it's intriguing, and the bottom line is someone's got to win it. So if you're a fan and you participate, I hope that you are the winner. Now, let's move on to the Take Note segment for this week. My Take Note topic this week is about guitar strings, and it kind of piggybacks onto last week's question of the week from Tom about what gauge strings he should put on his Blues King guitar. A lot of people don't have a clue about their strings and just buy the cheapest or most familiar brand when replacing a string or a set. The strings of your guitar contribute hugely to how it sounds, not just how it feels to play. Tom's question was about gauge, and I talked about that a little bit last week. I recommended changing strings every month or so and trying several brands, noting how the guitar felt and sounded the first couple of weeks after the string change. In case you're new to the guitar, strings should be changed regularly. I know that's a revelation to some of you. They're not supposed to be changed just if one breaks. And if one breaks, you need to determine if there's a burr that the string passes over on the head nut or bridge nut, or if you have a rough fret, or if the string lasted as long as it should with the way you play. How often should you change your strings? Well, it depends on a few things: wear, sound, and budget. First, if you have wrapped strings with bits of coil cracking or entirely gone, which frequently occurs on the D string first before any of the others, it's time to change your bass strings, if not the entire set. If the finish is worn off your strings and you clean them every time you finish playing by means of using a dry, soft cloth — I like the knit kind of fabric from T-shirt or from a thin, very worn out flannel shirt or something — and grab each string with the fabric and run down the length of the string from the head nut to the bridge nut, making sure you get underneath where the frets are as well as over the top where your fingers touch, that'll get sweat and any kind of finger deposit off your string, and will give you a little bit longer string life, plus your strings won't look as nasty. But if when you're finished playing them, you clean them and they are sounding dead, they should be changed. At least change the wrapped strings. If the sound of your guitar is not pleasing and is, for lack of more descriptive word, thuddy — that's my word — rather than bright or round or however else you'd like to characterize the sound of your guitar when you like how it sounds, then it's time to change the strings. When you find the strings you like the best, if you are on a budget, see if you can purchase them for less if you buy in quantity. That will not only save you money, but you will never decide to change your strings and find the guitar stores out of stock, and you have wasted your time as well as money, or you have to compromise on what strings you want as a result of what's available at the local guitar shop. If you have spent any time in the quote-unquote national chain guitar stores, you know the variety of strings they offer is extremely limited. It may look like a lot to those of you who are new to guitar and who have only ever bought the brands that they sell, but those are nowhere close to all the guitar strings that are available. And, you know, you need to know what's out there and know what's good for you. So if you find a slightly more obscure or less available string to be the one you like, again, buy them in quantity because you may not ever be able to purchase them locally. Keep in mind or make a note of not only the brand and the gauge of the strings you like, but if the manufacturer makes more than one line of string or makes strings of the same gauge but in different materials. And note that too. You know, if you play on nines by manufacturer X, well, manufacturer may have a, you know, quote-unquote pro line, and they may have a quote-unquote diamond line, or they may have some other thing, and make nines in all of those lines of string. So you need to know the manufacturer, the material, the gauge, and the particular classification of that manufacturer's strings. You know, and, you know, write it down or save the label or, you know, do something so you can replace the strings as you want. Some guitarists don't use sets of strings. Some guitarists use basses from one particular company and trebles from another. I am in that camp, but I have a fallback set by a single manufacturer for the times when I'm just out of the strings that I use or I can't obtain the trebles I like. The trebles are the ones that are hard to get, and I can't get them from any supplier in this country. So I try to buy them in quantity, but from time to time, when I put the last set on that I have, I say to myself, oh, I really have to order trebles, and I don't get to it, and life takes over. So for those cases when I, again, need to change my strings and the trebles are included in the string change, there is a set, a non-customized set of strings that are a fallback set. If you play for an hour or more a day, every day, or nearly every day, you will probably hear your strings degrade after a month. At 2 months, you should probably change them if you haven't already, unless you really can't afford to. But 3 months is probably the absolute outer limit. Unless you're playing a nylon string guitar or bending eighths continuously, it's unlikely your strings will break over that period, but they will go dead. You or someone else paid good money for your guitar. Why in the world wouldn't you want it to sound great? So, you know, it's like having a car and saying, well, I never ran out of oil, so I didn't change the oil. I mean, any of you who drive know you can't do that. You don't run out of oil, but it gets dirty and you've got to change it, and it affects how the car runs. So, you know, your guitar strings affects how your guitar sounds, and its main purpose isn't to run, its main purpose is to make sound. So get some education about your strings, change your strings regularly, you know, and you'll remember why you fell in love with your guitar when you bought it. If you have to, put an alarm in your cell phone or BlackBerry or iPhone or Android or whatever you're carrying, or write it on a calendar or something. This is not maintenance that's going to ruin your guitar as an instrument, but it surely is going to degrade its sound. And, you know, what else do you have a guitar for? That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 031. Let's move along to the outro. Keep humidifying. Feel your guitar to see if the neck is shrinking. You'll know if the frets stick out from the sides of your guitar and you slide your fingers along the neck with your hand behind the neck. Let me know if you're celebrating International Guitar Month in April in any particular way. I may have a proposal or a challenge for you before then. Great job, Anna, Arno, Anya, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, and Olivia. You worked illustriously. Work with chords and learn about key modulation. Don't just rip off from people or websites without giving any thought or listening time to them. Experience Clapton entry is open until April 25th. And don't be ignorant about your strings. Change them when they need it, not just when they break. Find the right strings for you and buy them in quantity if you can get a good deal. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com. GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com homepage and podcast page. You'll also find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, as well as to subscribe to the show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hillburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.